You are listening to ebuzz.com. Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salatullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, today is Thursday the 17th of August 2006. Once again, welcome as we go through yet another lesson in the tafsir of Surah Yusuf. Yesterday we ended whereby we were discussing the brothers' attempt to take Binyamin to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, Yusuf requested that Binyamin comes to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, so Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam can give them one camel's load or the measurement of food for an extra brother. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam categorically said that I will not let him go with you after what happened before. And then we discussed how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's plan actually came into effect, whereby, remember, he placed their merchandise in their main baggage which they wouldn't open on the way to Palestine, baggage which they would only open when they got home. And as they opened their baggage, they found this merchandise, and they told their father that, oh, our father, we don't mean any harm. We told you that this king or this leader, this minister, is actually, he's generous. He's even returned our merchandise, so we don't have any ulterior motives. All we want is to go get our measurement. So please send Binyamin with us. He said, I will only send Binyamin with you if you take an oath. And they took an oath, and Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness over this oath. Now, we stopped discussing, or we stopped at the point whereby we were discussing the aspect of taking a qasam. And we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, never just said here mawthiqa, that just take a qasam. He said that take a qasam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name was mentioned here means that we are not allowed to take a qasam by any other thing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam putting an end to this. We know that today we find people carelessly taking qasam by those other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like their mothers, like their fathers. This is the lesser shirk as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man halafa bighayri Allah faqad kafara aw ashrak, that the person who takes an qasam, an oath, by anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they have indeed disbelieved or committed shirk. The ulama have taught us that this is lesser shirk. It doesn't take you out of the religion or the fold of Islam. However, it weakens your iman and throws you in the avenue of shirk akbar, which is shirk which takes you out of Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man kana halifan falyahlif billah aw liyasmut, that whoever takes a qasam, then they should take a qasam only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they should keep quiet. Now, we get taught here the permissibility of taking a qasam, and that a qasam should only be taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we shouldn't engage in continuously just taking qasam for frivolous things, for things which are not really important, trivial matters. We shouldn't take qasam. Taking a qasam is a serious aspect, it is a serious action, and we need to guard our tongues when using or swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding in regards to taking a qasam. Now, before we continue, I would like for us to listen to the recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
ولما دخلوا على يوسف آوى إليه أخاه قال إني أنا أخوك فلا تبتئس بما كانوا يعملون. فلما جهزهم بجهازهم جعل السقاية في رحل أخيه ثم أذن مؤذن أيتها العير إنكم لسارقون. قالوا وأقبلوا عليهم ماذا تفقدون. قالوا نفقد صواع الملك ولمن جاء به حمل بعير وأنا به زعيم. قالوا تالله لقد علمتم ما جئنا لنفسد في الأرض وما كنا سارقين. قالوا فما جزاؤه إن كنتم كاذبين. قالوا جزاؤه من وجد في رحله فهو جزاؤه كذلك نجزي الظالمين. فبدأ بأوعيتهم قبل وعاء أخيه ثم استخرجها من وعاء أخيه كذلك كدنا ليوسف ما كان ليأخذ أخاه في دين الملك إلا أن يشاء الله نرفع درجات من نشاء وفوق كل ذي علم عليم قالوا إن يسرق فقد سرق أخ له من قبل فأسرها يوسف في نفسه ولم يبدها لهم قال أنتم شر مكانا والله أعلم بما تصفون قالوا يا أيها العزيز إن له أبا شيخا كبيرا فخذ أحدنا مكانه إنا نراك من المحسنين قال معاذ الله أن نأخذ إلا من وجدنا متاعنا عنده إنا إذا لظالمون فلما استيئسوا منه خلصوا نجيا قال كبيرهم ألم تعلموا أن أباكم قد أخذ عليكم موثقا من الله ومن قبل ما فرطتم في يوسف فلن أبرح الأرض حتى يأذن لي أبي أو يحكم الله لي وهو خير الحاكمين ارجعوا إلى أبيكم فقولوا يا أبانا إن ابنك سرق وما شهدنا إلا بما علمنا وما كنا للغيب حافظين واسأل القرية التي كنا فيها والعير التي أقبلنا فيها وإنا لصادقون قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل عسى الله أن يأتيني بهم جميعا إنه هو العليم الحكيم وتولى عنهم وقال يا أسفى على يوسف وبيضت عيناه من الحزن فهو كظيم قالوا تالله تفتأ تذكر يوسف حتى تكون حرضا أو تكون من الهالكين قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون يا بني يذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون فلما دخلوا عليه قالوا يا أيها العزيز مسنا وأهلنا الضر وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوف لنا الكيل وتصدق علينا إن الله يجزي المتصدقين قال هل علمتم ما فعلتم بيوسف وأخيه إذ أنتم جاهلون قالوا أئنك لأنت يوسف قال أنا يوسف وهذا أخي قد من الله علينا إنه من يتق ويصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين الله لقد آثرك الله علينا وإن كنا لخاطئين. قال لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. اذهبوا بقميصي هذا فألقوه على وجه أبي يأت بصيرا وأتوني بأهلكم أجمعين.
Wallahi, you can cry listening to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such perfect is the meaning. It has such an effect on one's heart. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect and there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa salam advises his children. He says, okay, take Binyamin and go. And subhanallah, a loving father and advisor over his children sits them down and says, listen, my children, when you go back to Egypt, do not enter all at once through one gate. Oh my sons, do not enter from one gate, but enter from different gates. Subhanallah. He, out of love for his children, is advising them. Now, why is he advising them to enter through different gates, not through one gate at the same time? The ulama of tafsir have mentioned here that Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam was advising them to use means available to them, obviously, to avoid and stay away from the evil eye. And many of us will know it as Nazar. So, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, a loving father and advisor to his children, advises them this to ward off the evil eye. Now, many a Muslim today questions a lot about the evil eye. Why is it there? Can it really harm somebody? How do we ward it off? What do we do? What does the Sharia teach us in regards to it? The evil eye, dear listeners, is from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's something that actually exists. We have evidence from the Quran, there's evidence from the Sunnah, and the ulama have taught us that the evil eye itself is when you look at somebody with admiration. So you look at somebody or you look at something and you admire it so much. And you admire it with the contamination of being evil. So you are jealous about this thing that you are looking at. As a result, what happens? You're looking at it results in harm. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his protection. So you admire something. Somebody's got a nice car, a nice house. Somebody's got a handsome son or a pretty daughter. Or somebody has children who are passing very well in school. They're performing really well. You look at their success, but you look at it with a sense of animosity, a sense of jealousy, and your looking at it results in harm and evil. And this is what the ulama have taught us about it. In fact, Imam Nawawi says that both the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the evil eye are real. Now, no one disputes the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he mentions in his commentary on Sahih Muslim that the divine decree and the evil eye are both real. It is powerful, but neither the evil eye or anything else can cause harm to a person or even do good to anybody except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are affected by the evil eye, know and understand that it was done with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. Nothing happens except with the will and wish of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And don't ever question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that why did he will something and why didn't he will something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wahid al-qahhar. He is one. There is no other Rabb. There is no other ilah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us and we cannot question him. But one thing we need to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress anybody. So evidence from the Quran teaching us this lesson of the evil eye, it's in this ayah in Surah Yusuf. وَقَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُ مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ وَادْخُلُ مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam telling his sons, oh my sons, do not enter by one gate, but enter by different gates. And as I said, the majority of the mufassirin are unanimous and they agree that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam were handsome and good looking. I mean, if Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had half of all beauty, imagine how handsome his brothers were. And Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, he feared that the people might affect them with the evil eye. I mean, such a large group of children all handsome looking, coming from a far city. And remember, they were there before, and now they're coming again. So there could be one element in society who could envy them and affect them with the evil eye. So he's using means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a means. Obviously, he's acting upon ilm. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and later on we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning that he acted upon ilm, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioning that no matter what you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able. And another ayah which teaches us the evil eye is in Surah Al-Qalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِيَّكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إنه لمجنون وما هو إلا ذكر للعالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and verily those who disbelieve would almost make you slip with their eyes. How? Through hatred. They look at you with hatred. They would almost make you slip with their eyes when they hear the Quran, when they hear the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they say, verily he Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a madman, but it is nothing else than a reminder to all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is evidence that quickly comes to mind from the Quran. From the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu an mentions in a hadith which is in the Sahih, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-aynu haqqun wa naha anil washam, that the evil eye is real, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade tattoos. But we want to concentrate on the aspect of the evil eye. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying here that the evil eye is a reality. In another hadith narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, which is in the Sunan, she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ista'idhu billahi min al-ayn, that seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil eye. She said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ الْعَيْنَ حَقْ, that the evil eye is real. Ibn Abbas radiallahu an also says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْعَيْنُ حَقٌ, that the evil eye is real. So we need to understand that this is a reality, and we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his protection from it. Now, someone might say that how do we repel, or how do we protect ourselves from the evil eye before it strikes? Now this, and as I said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never left anything which is good. The Sharia teaches us that if somebody wants to protect himself or herself from the evil eye, then they should always seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. By Allah's wisdom, if the one who has put the evil eye on another seeks blessings, then the evil eye is cancelled. So don't ever look at somebody's good and forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ever look at somebody's nice home, at somebody's good life, at somebody's successes without saying, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing that, it kills one's envy, and the evil eye actually doesn't have the effect that it would have in a circumstance whereby someone would admire something with envy and forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings when we look at somebody's success. Don't be an enemy to your fellow Muslim by admiring it with evil, with hatred, and thus the actual admiring that you do is a means of harm for this person. And we should remember that the evil eye can come from a righteous person also, not just from an enemy. So this is something we should do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to pray for blessings for everything that we like. He said, إِذَا رَأَى أَحَدُكُم مِّنْ أَخِيهِ مَا يُعْجِبُهُ فَلْيَدْعُ لَهُ بِالْبَرَكَةِ, that if one of you sees something that his brother has, then let him pray for blessings for his brother. Say, Alhamdulillah, you know, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, Allahumma barik alay, say, barakallahu fi. So this is teaching from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we need to take a serious meaning. We need to understand it properly and put it into practice. We need to always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't look at somebody's good and somebody's success and envy it and thus cause harm to him. As we said, the evil eye is something which is a reality and it can affect people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us time and time again the reality of the evil eye. Now someone might say that what is the remedy of the evil eye after it has happened? Just now we discussed how we repel it. That before it can even come into effect, we make sure that when we look at something, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say that which is taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma barik alayhi, you know, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pass blessings onto this person. Now, if the evil eye has already taken place, and it has happened and a person is being affected. The Sharia teaches us that this person who has actually passed the evil eye on to the next person, they should make wudu in a vessel of water, and then that water should be taken and poured over the one who has been affected. Now obviously this is in the case where you know who has actually passed the evil eye. So somebody affects you with an evil eye and you are going through a difficult time, and you know for sure that this is the person who probably praised me without seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. You should go to that person with a vessel of water, ask them to make wudu in this water, and then use that water to pour over yourself. So it puts an end to the evil eye. This is taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Sahal ibn Hanif radiallahu an, whereby he praised one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously he had very nice skin and he praised this person, and then what happened? This person became really sick. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَى مَا يَقْتُلْ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَىٰ أَلَى بَرَّكْتْ اِخْتَسِلْ لَهُ. Why would one of you kill his brother? Why did you not pray for blessings for him? Wash yourself for him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded this person to make wudu and then take that water that was in the vessel that he used to make wudu and pour it over the person that was affected. So this is something that we can do if we know that the person, or if we know the person who has actually caused us harm with the evil eye. Now, what are we supposed to do in a circumstance where we don't know who actually passed us or passed on to us this evil eye? But before going on to that, we should also mention that the one who is asked to wash, he is obliged to. He shouldn't feel, we first and foremost shouldn't feel shy to go and ask this person to wash. And when the person is asked to make this wudu in this vessel, he shouldn't refuse, he should do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِنِ اسْتُغْسِلْتُمْ فَخْسِلُوا. Then do so. If you are asked to wash, then do so. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us the importance of being obliging in these circumstances. Now what happens if you don't know the one who's actually passed on to you this evil eye? Then you need to treat it with the different adhkar, the ruqyas taught to us from the sharia, or by the sharia, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the different du'as, a'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the perfect words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of that which he has created. So many other du'as, a'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammah min kulli shaytanin wahammah wa min kulli aynin lammah. This is taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every devil and every poisonous reptile and from every evil eye. There are many other adhkar, we don't have time to go into them all. However, this is a brief teaching of the evil eye. We have many questions about it. I hope this has done a little bit of justice to the questions that we might have. If we have some more, as I said, feel free to call in or write in. But what we have to understand, that the evil eye is a reality and we shouldn't take it for granted. We should be from amongst those who always seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings when we remember the successes and the goodnesses of our fellow Muslim brother or sister. So Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam tells his children, enter into the city from different doors and different gates. Obviously in those days the cities were surrounded by high walls, we can only just imagine, and there were different gates leading into the city. So he said, don't enter the city through one door, enter through abwab mutafarriqa, different doors. Then he tells them after that, that ma ughni ankum min Allah min shay. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, continuing to advise them, says that I cannot avail you against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. So here Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching them what? That I can only advise at the end of the day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer of everything, whatever he wants will happen. And as I said, we can only take precaution. The rest is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot do anything to avert the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I did say the other day that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something to come to you, if the whole world can get together and try to avert this blessing that Allah wants to come to you, they won't manage. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want something to come to you, then the whole world can get together and try to give you a blessing. If Allah doesn't want, it will never happen. So Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam tells them that, listen, please do this for me. Enter through different doors. However, I cannot avail you against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The decision is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In al-hukmu illa lillah alayhi tawakkalt. The decision is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon him I have placed my trust. Upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I have relied. And upon him let those who would rely upon. وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون. Upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should all those who place their reliance in, they should place their reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولما دخلوا من حيث أمرهم أبوهم وما كان يغني عنهم من الله من شيء إلا حاجة في نفس يعقوب قضاها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when they entered from where their father had ordered them to, the different doors, they did follow their father's instructions, they entered through the different doors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it did not avail them against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. It did not avail them against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Subhanahu Rabbi al-A'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wassalam was a possessor of knowledge because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught him. But most people do not know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that they entered through different doors. And the action of theirs or whatever they did not avail them or divert Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. If Allah planned that they still get affected with the evil eye, they would have still been affected even if they entered through different doors. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the practice of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, or the advice that he gave his children, was advice based on knowledge. So his tactic was a good tactic. The fact that he advised his sons to do this was a good tactic. It is recommended. We praise him for that. He acted upon knowledge. However, we are saying on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that even though they did what they did, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he could have still affected them with it. وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَا. That Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, without doubt, he was knowledgeable. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his actions were based on ilm. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most of mankind do not know. And this is a fact. How many of us actually place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many of us actually take the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a means for us, and then place full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The main reasons why we suffer intense sadness is because the lack of tawakkul, the lack of placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We really haven't understood that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is doing. We are not doing. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants will happen. Whatever we want, it depends how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to facilitate us and assist us. If he feels the thing we want is good for us, he will give it to us. So nothing is between our hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. In him we place our trust, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding and to make us from amongst those who only and truly place their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفَ آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَخَى قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكَ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So the brothers return. They enter upon Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So when they entered upon Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam took his brother to himself, and he said to his brother, obviously after so long he is seeing his blood brother. You can imagine the excitement, you can imagine, you know, the feelings that were going through Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He's been thinking of his blood brother for so long, subhanahu rabbi al-a'la, and now his plan worked. The brothers have come back, and come back with who? With this blood brother of his. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, awa ilayhi akha, he takes Binyamin to himself. He takes Binyamin to himself, and he says, indeed, I am your brother, so do not despair over what they used to do to me. Subhanallah. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. We learn so many things from this, respected listeners. The first thing that crops up to mind just by reading the ayah, فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, is the importance that we find in advice of a big brother to his younger one. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is the older brother. He tells his younger brother, do not despair over what they used to do to me. I am fine. I am happy to see you. Obviously, the fact that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam took Binyamin to himself means they were in a secluded area, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam gave him the good news that I am your brother who was lost, or who was actually taken away from our father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam as a young boy. But I am fine. How are you? I hope you are okay. And listen, my little brother, don't worry for those things which these other brothers of us did. Alhamdulillah, I am okay. So this is good advice and good understanding and good and glad tidings that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually gave to Binyamin. So now Binyamin knows that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is alive and he's well. And not only is he alive and well, he is the minister of Egypt. He is the one who is in charge of all the storages, of all the food. Subhanallah, from where to where one could never imagine. But Binyamin also keeps it to himself. Now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had a plan, and we'll see this plan here. فَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنْ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرِ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. So now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has his brother with him. He informs him that, listen, I'm going to make a plan, we're going to do something so that I can keep you here with me. I can keep you here with me. So what does Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam do, or what does he initiate? He, after the supplies are placed in the bags, after the food supplies, remember they came back for food, and after the food is placed into the bags, the goblet or the drinking cup of the king is placed into the bag of Binyamin, right? So the bags are full. But with Binyamin's bag, a goblet, or the king's goblet, his drinking glass, which obviously has to be extremely valuable, is placed in the bag of Binyamin. So now what happens? They start leaving, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's plan is to keep Binyamin with him. So what happens? News gets out that, listen, this cup is missing. Who could have stolen the cup? Immediately eyes are turned onto this big group of brothers. Why? They are from a foreign country, and you know, they are a large group of them. Who else could have stolen the king's cup? So what happens? An announcer calls out and says, أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنْ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرِ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. O caravan, indeed you are thieves. So they get accused of being thieves. Subhanallah. So the brothers, obviously in shock, what do they do? I mean, all of a sudden we are here, we're here with good intentions, we're here just to take our measure, we've paid for our measure, all of a sudden we're being accused as thieves. So attention is brought to the fact that this goblet is missing. And these people are strangers. Who else can it be? They have to be the ones that had stolen the cup. Now, we need to understand that here they are referred to as thieves. They are referred to as thieves, and obviously they didn't steal anything. So the fact that they are being referred to as thieves gives us the impression that the caller, or the one who announced that this goblet was missing, didn't know Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's plan. Because if he knew Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's plan, he wouldn't have referred to them as thieves. Remember, choosing your words appropriately, making sure you think before you speak. Don't just say things and then you end up lying, or you end up accusing somebody and you end up violating huququl ibad, the rights of other people. So we get the impression here that the person who announced that the goblet was missing and accused Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's brothers of stealing, he didn't know that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually had initiated a plan. And I'm just speaking about choosing our choice of words. We'll see later on how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam chose his words when speaking and addressing this issue of the theft. So, we get the impression that the caller didn't know. So what happens? The brothers turn around and come back. قَالُوا وَأَقْبَلُوا عَلَيْهِ مَاذَا. The brothers turn back and address the situation. مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. They said, whilst addressing the situation, that what is wrong? What are you missing? Why are you accusing us of stealing something? You know, obviously they were innocent. If they had something to hide, they would have obviously ran away, or they would have obviously started defending themselves as those who are guilty do. Here they are totally innocent. They are totally innocent and being accused of theft. So they turn around and say, what's the problem? What are you guys missing? قَالُوا أَقْبَلُوا عَلَيْهِ مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ قَالُوا نَفْقِدُ صُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٍ. They said, we are missing the goblet of the king, Suwa' al-Malik, this drinking cup. And for the one who produces it is the reward of a camel's load. Subhanallah. Now already a reward is put out. And we learn from this the permissibility of putting out a reward if something is missing. So they say that, listen, we're missing the goblet. And whoever finds this goblet, for him will be a camel's load. The reward of a camel's load. And this is the reward of the person who actually comes up with this goblet. So the brothers, obviously totally innocent, they're not doubting their innocence, meaning they're not aware what is going on, they didn't come here to steal. They question them, what are you missing? If they were guilty, as I said, they would have fled. They are totally innocent, and they hear that now the goblet is missing. We learn from that ayah that we can put out a reward. This is an important lesson that we do learn. Obviously, if we're missing something, then it is permissible to actually put out a reward and say, listen, the person who finds this thing, will get a reward of so much. Now what happens? They immediately go into defense. They defend themselves. قالوا تالله لقد علمتم ما جئت. Subhanallah, and just look at the words. I want you to see the power in the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way they defend themselves. قالوا تالله لقد علمتم ما جئت لنفسد في الأرض وما كنا سارقين. They say, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you people know us. They didn't just say, hey, listen, we haven't stolen and we don't know what you're talking about. They defend themselves so strongly. Look at the words that they use. First, they swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, they don't say, we haven't stolen. They say, we have dealt with you before. You know everything about us and you know that we are not here to cause problems in the land. We are not here to cause corruption. وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. And we are not thieves. We haven't stolen. قالوا فما جزاؤه إن كنتم كاذبين. So now the people who work at the palace say, okay, what do you think, or what should be the recompense if you are liars? What should be the punishment if we find this cup with you and you are liars? So the brothers say, the recompense, قالوا جزاؤه من وجد في رحله فهو جزاؤه. The brothers say that the recompense or the punishment for the one who is guilty, or the one whose bag this goblet is actually found in, this drinking cup of the king, a very valuable cup, then the person whose bag this cup is found in, he should be the punishment, meaning he should be taken as a slave. Now, the ulama have said that in the sharia of that time, the rule was whoever stole would be deported back to his country. Whoever stole would be deported back to the country. Now obviously the aspect or the plan of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was to keep Binyamin with him. It wouldn't have been viable that they find the cup in the bag of Binyamin and then he gets deported back to Palestine, because the plan of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was to keep Binyamin. Now someone might ask that, why did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually want to keep Binyamin? Obviously Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's father Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam went through such sadness when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went missing. Now by keeping Binyamin, it would cause even more difficulty and sadness to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. So the ulama mentioned that, look, there definitely has to be his choice in keeping Binyamin, definitely had to be revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some ulama have mentioned that Binyamin wanted to stay with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Obviously he hasn't seen him for so many years, and obviously he probably wasn't having that good a relationship with the other brothers. So that is the answer to the question, if somebody might ask that, why did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually decide to keep Binyamin when it would cause even more sadness to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It seems like this was revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also places the cup in his bag. And I did say that if, or the sharia of that time dictated that whoever has stolen, he would be deported to his country, as the ulama have taught us. But by doing it this way, whereby they engage in discussion, the people of the palace told these brothers that what would be the punishment for the person who has stolen. And the brothers themselves said that whoever has stolen, keep him as a slave. So what happens? Now the tables are turned. The sharia has been changed a little bit. Instead of Binyamin being deported, the brothers themselves are saying that whichever bag you find this goblet in, the person's bag you find it in, keep him as a slave. So what happens? We learn here a lot of things. I did read three ayahs in a row. We learn here a lot of things. First and foremost, the fact that they said, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ. They swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did mention at the beginning of today's lesson that we only swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tallahi, billahi, wallahi, these are huruf al-qasam, putting a ta between the word, or before the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, putting a ba before the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and putting a waw before the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is known as huruf al-qasam. It is allowed to say wallahi or billahi or tallahi. So they swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, defending their rights. This teaches us again the importance of defending ourselves when we are right. We also learn that stealing is from corruption in the land, because here they refer to stealing as corruption. They said, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. we didn't come here to cause corruption in the land. They didn't say we didn't come here to steal. They said we didn't come here to cause corruption. Again, the power in the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching us so much from so little words or so few words. We learn here that the aspect of stealing and the practice of stealing is a practice which causes corruption in the land. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evils of stealing. And we know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the one who steals, he cursed him. He said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ السَّارِقِ, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse be upon the one who has stolen. قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ, I mentioned these ayat whereby the tables were turned. They themselves said that, listen, if you find the cup in any of our bags, the person whose bag this cup is in, keep him as a slave. So what happens? They start searching the bag. They start going through the bags, but they don't start searching Binyamin's bag first. They start by searching the other brother's bags. Why? Because if they open Binyamin's bag first and it was found, it would look suspicious. That, hey, how come the first bag you have opened, the goblet is inside? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِي ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وِعَاءِ أَخِي, that they began searching the bags before the bag of Binyamin. And then when they got to Binyamin's bag, they extracted this goblet from the bag. كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفْ, thus did we plan for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, thus did we plan for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And this shows us that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was acting upon revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفْ, this is how we planned for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, he could have not taken his brother within the religion or the law of the king of Egypt at that time. Remember I said the law was that they would deport the thief back to the land that he came from. But it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan that Binyamin stay with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala kulli shay'in qadir, is upon all able. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of his magnificence and his authority and his power. He says, we planned for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He could have not kept by any means his brother under the constitution of the law of that time, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءَ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, we raise in degrees those who we will, and over every possessor of knowledge is one who is more knowledgeable. This teaches us the importance of seeking knowledge, dear listeners. It is important that we equip ourselves with solid ilm. We shouldn't be from amongst those who are ignorant. We shouldn't be from amongst those who don't know. We are a nation who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with knowledge. The first words that entered the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Iqra, which means to read. And we all know that we educate ourselves through reading. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the utensil of Islam the pen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نُون وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the utensil of Islam the pen. And what is the pen used for? For education and for learning. So Islam teaches us from the outset to learn, to be educated, to read. And the Sharia has encouraged us in so many ways to become from among those who know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, that the person who treads a path seeking knowledge, يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his way to Jannah easier. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise in rank those who have knowledge, those who believe, and those who are أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, who have knowledge, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed for knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَأَ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to himself as Alim. Again, encouraging us to become knowledgeable. Know and understand, dear listeners, that if you are knowledgeable, if you have knowledge, then you are a leader. If you have knowledge, you are a contributor to society. If you have knowledge, you will be a worthy citizen of the communities that you live in. And this is something that we should encourage our youth to do time and time again. Just before coming here, I had a talk at LMS, and I was telling the children the importance of seeking knowledge, because at the end of the day, the children are the future of Islam. When we look at the future of Islam, we should see a bright future. It shouldn't look bleak and dark to us. At the moment, we find a large number of our youth engaged in activities that don't benefit them. Instead, it causes harm to them. And parents not paying attention to the actual needs of their children will lose their children to the avenues of drugs, of immoral behavior, and all the evils that the kuffar have placed around our children, the evils of the dunya, that which shaitan has made beautiful or makes, meaning that which shaitan uses to entice a believer. Two, so a parent should make sure that he or she, a mother and a father, gives their child or their children that which they actually need. My dear elders and brothers, my dear fathers, my dear mothers, my dear brothers and sisters, our children need education. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us here the importance of education. Then the story moves on. قَالُوا إِيَّسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُلَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Subhanallah. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, now that the goblet has been found in the bag of Binyamin, the brother of Yusuf, they wash their hands of Binyamin straight away and they actually accuse Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam as if they're also washing their hands of him. They say, O minister, yasriq, they all said, that if Binyamin has stolen, فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُلَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ, then his brother has stolen before him. Now who are they referring to? To Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. They don't know that they're talking to Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. They don't know that this is Yusuf standing in front of us. He is the minister. They say, listen, if he has stolen, then it's nothing new. His brother has done it before. They totally wash their hands of Binyamin without even trying to be supportive over their brother, to be supportive and helpful in the situation that they're in, trying to be contributors to the problem. They just wash their hands off and say, listen, we have no interest in this. If he's stolen, then his brother has stolen before him. Now, some of the ulama have mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam stole an idol that was being used by his maternal grandfather. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but even if he did steal that idol, it's not actually stealing. It's putting correct that which was wrong. So we don't know if they were referring to that aspect or basically if they were just trying to accuse Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam and wash their hands off the two brothers. So they arrogantly say, إِيَّسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُلَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ, that if he has stolen, then his brother has stolen before him. So in vain, they bluntly accuse Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, once again, his superior quality sticks out and stands out. What does he do? فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam kept what they said within himself. He didn't reveal to them that what on earth are you talking about? I am Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. After all the wrong that you've done to me, you can come here and accuse me of stealing. You can come here and, you come here and you act in an irresponsible manner in this whole situation. You're not even willing to assist Binyamin. He didn't say anything. He kept calm. He kept it as a secret. He didn't reveal to them his identity or his status. He had a plan and he was being patient on that plan. And then he says, قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. He said that you are worse in position and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most knowing of what you describe. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is telling them. Now, the ulama have mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned this to himself. He didn't say it to them aloud. Obviously, if he said it to them aloud, they would have picked up that, hey, this is a person who knows something about us. Maybe he's Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said it to himself, قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا, you are in a worse of position. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most knowledgeable of that which you describe. Again, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You guys can say what you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all knowledgeable. This is true tawakkul, the true aspect of placing one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else matters to me except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah is happy with me and Allah knows I am innocent, the rest doesn't matter. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is patient, and we learn from this also that in certain circumstances you don't have to defend yourself. Meaning, obviously, for a maslaha, for beneficial reasons. Because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam didn't defend himself here. He kept quiet. He had a plan. He's not going to just leave the matter at rest. Later on, he will address it. But he used wisdom. At this moment in time, we shouldn't address the situation. He kept it to himself. This teaches us that in certain circumstances, with wisdom, we don't have to defend ourselves straight away. There is a time and a place for everything. We will stop here for today. Our time has come to an end. I thoroughly enjoyed myself with you. I hope we are following the story. It's coming towards a close. At the end of the day, as I said, we need to make sure that we are taking from the teachings here the lessons. From everything that's being said, we are taking the lessons. This is not mere story time. We are not here passing time, telling tales. These are from the best stories which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us. In it, there are lessons for those of understanding. Everything correct in this tafsir is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. And any mistakes that I may have made are from myself and shaytan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his forgiveness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.